is one chapter completed, and the next chapter is opening up. For me, you know, when I opened up that rookie contract, I was, wow, this is it. And I completed that chapter. Now it's the next chapter.
They throw what could be a double pass. This is Boyd. Now he wants to throw it back. And the ball picked off by the Jaguars. Josh Allen, has he done enough this year yet? He picked off the double pass and ran it back inside the 10-yard line of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Extremely honored, extremely blessed and humbled to be even given a contract of this size. And, you know, I'm just totally blessed.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark.
All right, we are getting close, baby. We're one day out, Tony, from the real draft, the media mock draft, and then the rest of it is just kind of whatever, fun and games. But no, draft time is upon us. I think we like the draft. We're excited. Let's get through it. Let's get some new players. Let's see where we're going. Today's a big Tuesday top five for you. This is it. Right here, what's your top five wish list for the Jags, right? And could be a lot of different things. We'll explain as we go along. Tony, let me take a moment. We're not shout-out radio, but I did play the new Stillwater Golf Course, relatively new.
Yeah.
Over on 210. Ken Brady and I, our sales manager, played out there. And we played Sunday afternoon, got paired up with a guy who lives out there named Ernie. And I told Ernie I'd give him a shout-out because he's super nice. You know, sometimes you get paired with a guy on the course and it's like, oh, this is going to really stink. Mm-hmm. But he was great guy, great personality, had a little local knowledge on some of the holes that helped out. So I wanted to give him a shout-out. I told him I'd do it yesterday. So if he listened, he's not listening now because he gave up.
Cool.
After 2 hours of unshout-outed-fulness.
That was it?
Yeah, that was it yesterday. Uh-huh. All right. We're focusing on the draft. How difficult was it for you to put together a top five list?
Not all that difficult.
How did you do yours, by the way? Did you do, like, your top five guys, like, I hope they get this guy. If they don't get this guy, I hope this guy's a Jag, you know, down the line. Or did you do five guys that they could get all five if it falls the right way?
Three of the guys that I have on my list are more first round.
Okay.
If they're going to get it done. The other two are more just guys that I've had on my mind for a while. That I would love to see land here in Jacksonville ultimately. And, you know, I think both those names would probably be in the second round. I can't imagine either of them being there by the time we got to the third round. So I'm pretty early in the draft with the five that I picked.
I've got three in the first round, but one of them in a trade back scenario,
mm-hmm.
right? So really only two considerations at 17. I got a third/fourth rounder and a fourth or later guy
okay.
as well is how I did it. And you can do it any way you like. If you didn't see our tweets yesterday on the subject matter, the Tuesday top five is simply which five players would you like to see the Jaguars select in the upcoming NFL draft. These could be your top five targets for the 17th pick for the first round. Maybe Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. is at the top of your list. That's mm-hmm. fine. That's who you are saying, and I would hope you have some realistic thought that they could come up with a scenario where they could get that guy. I don't know how realistic it is to get Roma Dunze. I think it's a lot more realistic than Marvin Harrison Jr., but the point being, it doesn't have to be, here's a guy I can get in round one, a guy I can get in round two. You can do it that way.
Yeah.
Do it any way you like. You come up with your five-player wish list.
Five guys that if they called the name, you'd be real happy.
Yes. At whatever
point. And it doesn't matter if that list is actually, you know, 20, 25 players long. Who are the five that you'd be most happy about if they said that name?
How many guys do you think I have on my list?
More than five, based on the way you asked. I got eight, but I could whittle it down to five or nine.
I got eight, but it's like, it's a this guy or that guy
I got
kind
you.
Of thing. Like,
yeah.
I can't really distinguish between the two, but if forced to, I will. Right, so okay. I'll give you five as we go along, but I'll also give you the broader eight. I'm sure Pockets is going to be a well-researched group. Pockets,
oh yeah,
you feeling strong about your top five today?
Great.
How much homework did you put into this?
The last 4 minutes.
I was trying to embellish a little here and uh-huh. create a fiction. I said, Pockets, you got a top five today? You're going to join the crew? He goes, I'll have one. All right. Well then. I'm going to say that is a no on do I have one, but a yes on I would love to participate. Pockets, who have we lined up today for the program?
That's a good question. I think we have Demetrius Harvey at 10:40. When you schedule so many guests like I have in the last couple of days, I counted yesterday. I texted 32 people.
I feel like we got Shipley today.
That's right. I feel Harvey is Thursday.
They're not interchangeable. Okay? There are two of our favorite guys. Demetrius is going to join us on Thursday's show, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So John Shipley today at 10:40.
Yeah. Hayes Carline's Thursday. Okay. D-Rock could not do this week. So, yeah, we got Shipley today at 10:40. That's correct.
And Johnny O. And
that's
hour
right.
number two.
That's correct.
Coming in today. I try to serve him a layup there, Tony. Just yeah. a little underhand toss. Like, knock this one out of the park pockets. I think we got Demetrius Harvey. Ryan O'Halloran may follow.
We got
them
all
sure.
sometime over the next right. few days.
Pockets is working on the media mock draft. That's a little more stressful for him. He's got to have 16 people show up at the prescribed time. Although two of those people are Taylor Dahl. And she is
true.
20 feet away from pockets.
Yeah, we confirm she will be here at 10 a.m. for the first pick.
Excellent. She'll make the Bears pick. There's no trading, Taylor. So you're stuck with if all those receivers come off the board, you cannot make a move up, and you will take Jared Verse or somebody like that. I don't know who she'll take. It's up to Taylor.
Yeah.
She represents the Bears. But we'll have somebody who covers all the teams in the top 16. And Taylor does do a Bears podcast, if you're not aware of that, and they'll make their selections. They'll be meaningless, but they'll be fun and hopefully entertaining, and you get a feel for what they're talking about in the local markets. That's as fun as anything, Tony. And we hearken back to probably the greatest moment in media mock draft history was Jim Wyatt, who was with Tennessee and Nashville at the time, got Chris Johnson out of East Carolina when nobody at the time was really saying Chris Johnson was even in the first round.
No, yeah.
Right? And we did our media mock draft, I think, then a couple of days before the draft. And in the intervening 48 hours, you started to hear, boy, the Titans really like Chris Johnson. But he had that. Now he works for the team.
Yeah.
So who'd you get for the Titans, by the way, Dylan? Do we know who we've got?
I got Blaine Bishop.
Oh, Blaine Bishop. All right, former Titan. So
yeah.
Hopefully he won't censor himself. You know, it's tough. Like, you're in a position like John Osier. If you do hear something, you work for the team, you can't really put that out there.
Right.
So, you know, Jim would tend to talk in generalities for years after that. But when he was with the Tennessee and in Nashville, was absolutely awesome.
He's plugged in, yeah.
Great guy. I mean, he's plugged in now. You know, yeah. It's just a different role, to be sure. All right, why don't we begin the proceedings here and start the countdown.
Number five.
I should put him on the spot, Tony, see what he came up with in the last 6.5 minutes. But why don't you lead us off today with number five?
I will start with Washington. I'll just call him offensive lineman, Troy Faoutanu, who could play guard, could play tackle. I talked about him a little bit when we were going into the combine and guys that I wanted to get a closer look at and see how they tested, like did all those things. Because of his athletic profile and the style of offensive lineman that I think the Jaguars generally have circled, he is one of the few guys that they have talked to in the draft process to this point along the offensive line. And, you know, it was funny, you know, looking at that list yesterday, there were three guys that were kind of in that first round range and then nothing until the sixth, right, among offensive, quote, tackles that they had looked at. There wasn't much at guard.
Right.
That they had looked at it all as far as just talking to guys that are playing along those lines. I still think offensive line is very much in play potentially for the Jags at 17, even if it isn't at the top of my list. But if they were going to go that direction, Faoutanu would be the guy whose name, if they called it, I would be the most excited about.
All right, and I totally understand that. And it's reasonable. They could be looking at it that, hey, we just re-signed our left guard. Ezra Cleveland's going to be here for the next few years. We have Sheriff for one more year.
Yeah.
He's a vet, and we've got a young guy we drafted that hasn't had a chance to see the field yet. We feel like we've got some guards in the pipeline. Maybe they feel that way. Also, I heard Mia O'Brien yesterday in Helmets and Heels talking about how, you know, she thinks the move for Odunze is absolutely in play and that they have talked to a lot of the Washington guys, and she wonders how much of that was doing due diligence on a Dunze, right?
Sure.
Like, as much as Faoutanu's an attractive guy. All right, so you want an offensive lineman.
I did.
At least he's number five on your list.
Yes.
Number five for me is the defensive tackle that falls because of X, okay? And so I got two guys here that represent this. Mason Smith out of LSU, who was coming back from injury, right? So 2 years ago was spectacular. Last year, the numbers weren't there, although down the stretch he started to show that he was getting back to his old self. But because he didn't have a fully healthy year, I've seen his draft stock, Tony, sometimes in the fourth round, and I'd be interested in that range in Mason Smith. The other guy is T'Vondre Sweat of Texas, who, you know, at one point people were mocking the Jags with the 48th pick. Now, DUI and the inability to control his weight are serious issues. But, Tone, I mean, you know, nobody in this city thinks the Jags can draft anybody after the first round. Never mind after the second or third round, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I get it. You know, Balky has had these shots on guys. Sometimes they work. Oftentimes they don't. Why not take one of those fourth round picks on a talent that if it clicks, you're going to get a guy who may be worthy of a top 50 selection. Sure. So I'll, if you want to put one name on it, I'll say Mason Smith because, like, it's injury. It's not off-the-field issues. I don't know the makeup of T'Vondre Sweat. He could be off the Jaguars board entirely. But defensive tackle who falls because of things not related to his ability on the field. Dylan, who do you have at number five?
I got Fautanu, the Washington tackle, like Tony. This is the only offensive lineman in my top five. This is more of if the first round doesn't go the way that I think it's going to go and the corners go early, and I don't want to take a receiver in the first round. I was anti-offensive tackle for a while, but now the more I think about it with Cam and Little being on a one-year deal, you need another tackle for the future, and I would be fine with taking offensive tackle Fautanu in the first round.
I am going to say nothing to follow up on Fautanu. I may have some thoughts later on Troy Fautanu, but coming in at number five for both Dylan and Tony, Troy Fautanu, the offensive lineman, we'll call him, out of Washington.
Did both in college.
Right, he could play guard, he could play tackle.
I think he's more the body type of a guard in the NFL. That's what he looks like to me. And, you know, it may be a year. Like, if he got drafted here, he may not play all that much his rookie year. It may be more year two that you see a lot of him potentially. But he'll be playing somewhere. If they drafted him in the first, he'll be playing somewhere in year two as a starter.
Well, year two for sure.
At right guard or at one of the tackle spots, I think he can play either one and give you a lot of flexibility in there.
All right, so there's an example, right? We're going to be jumping all over the board. Some of these are going to be in the first round. Some of these are going to be a little bit later on. Some of these are going to be a player type. But what we're looking for is your top five wish list of guys that if the Jaguars call their name at any point during the NFL draft, they're going to make you the most happy. And, you know, a little bit of reality if you think, you know, if you put Marvin Harrison Jr., just at least in your head, you don't have to show your work, but at least in your head, have a plan that you think they realistically have the draft capital to trade up to number four and leapfrog all the other teams that might be interested in moving up for quarterbacks. Because I don't see it, but God bless them if they get something like that done. So I go Mason Smith out of LSU in round four, and Tony and Dylan, Troy Fautanu in round one. Those are our fifth selections. Hit us up on social media with your list today if you'd like, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, or at 1010XL Denmark.
Hold my pocket!
Or hit us up at 641-1010 on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines, or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Jump in the YouTube chat. If you'd like, what else have we got out there, Tone? I don't know. text line, I think I already mentioned. You know all the ways to reach the program at this point in time. We've got John Shipley, we believe, about 27 minutes away. And John Osier, doubling up on the Johns. John Osier joins us for hour two today as he's moving off his regular date for tomorrow's media mock draft, episode number 83, I believe we're up to right now. Tony Smith is here. Dylan Denmark's here. I'm Mike Dempsey. The NFL draft is about 2.5 days away, so let's talk about it for the next couple of hours. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Chris Sims feeling pretty good today, right? Because Zach Wilson found a new home. His number one quarterback from draft a few years ago. Out with the Denver Broncos. Now, he should feel better about that than he does about the mock draft he put out. Holy smokes, Tony. Roma Dunze is available for the Jaguars?
Let's go.
Let's go Nate Wiggins. What? wait. Roma Dunze falls to 17 and the Jags don't take him, says Chris Sims. So we'll draft the 173-pound corner over a Dunze. I'm not saying they wouldn't draft Nate Wiggins, but over Odunze? Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Tali Fuanga, Olu Fashanu, Graham Barton, all those guys going after that. Take them all over Nate Wiggins.
Yeah.
Jared Verse. Terry and Arnold goes 27. I will say this. Tony Pauline yesterday talking about Terry and Arnold, how he's much more of a guy who like sags off the line. He's better in zone coverage is what he's telling us, you know. And with the concepts Ryan Nielsen wants to play, you know, you wonder if Quinyon Mitchell is the number one corner on their board, is Arnold definitely the number two? We don't know.
We don't know.
You know, I don't know what the answer to that is right now. But, yeah, the idea that Rome Odunze would be there for the Jags without having to trade anything.
Just sitting there.
Just sitting there at 17. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There would be some murders in Duval that night if that happened.
Yeah.
6-4-1-10-10. I can't be sure who would kill whom.
But I'd be in fear of whatever was going to happen at the draft party.
Lock the doors.
That night.
Turn off the lights. Let's go to Brandon out at the beach. Brandon, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today.
All right, don't roast me. And hear my logic on this, okay? Before anything. So, we give 17. Well, first of all, we don't have our draft picks from last year with Tank and Brenton. They actually start and play. So, we actually feel like we have draft picks now. Get rid of 17, 48.
Well, if you're Brandon, all right, 17, 48. What else?
17, 48. Fourth rounder in 2025. Go up to 8 with Atlanta. Get their 109 and pick up Malik Nabers. So we have Brenton, Tank, and Malik starting. That's three players we didn't have last year.
Okay, what if Malik Nabers is gone?
By 8, you think he will?
Almost every mock draft has him gone. I'm not saying I guarantee it, but almost every mock draft has him going off the board before 8, yes.
Yeah.
What if I'm just asking, is this your only contingency that you've got?
Yeah, just try to get there, just keep Malik.
It's all good, man. It's all good. I'm not saying he may be there at 8. The Falcons may be willing to move. That's your preferred move. I got no issue with it. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call. A lot of people like Malik Nabers or Odunze. You prefer Nabers, it sounds like. Whatever.
Okay.
That's fine. I don't think that deal, by the way, you're giving in that deal 1 and 2. You're giving a fourth next year, you're getting fourth back this year, right? Because you 109. Right? I don't think you're going to get it for that. I just don't. I think there's the market for that pick. If one of those elite receivers is there, I think the Jets are going to be all over it, and they're dropping. If Atlanta takes a deal with the Jets, they only drop to 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and would the Jets give a first and a second to move up two spots? Maybe not. I don't know. I can't tell you. The other factor in this, though, Tony, a little bit of a factor. I know the Falcons picked up the Jags' third round pick. What might they lose by Thursday in the Kirk Cousins tampering thing that's going on? That's
right,
what Pro Football Talk set has been following this, and they suspect there could be a significant penalty. We've seen the league take away third-round picks over tampering violations, and apparently with everything, Kirk Cousins is blabbing, like, I've met with this guy, I talked with this guy, all before he was allowed to. And you may think, well, who cares? Everyone does it, but not everyone admits to it.
No, yeah.
Right, on the record. And so if they bust Atlanta, are they more willing to move out of 8 to recoup a little bit of that draft capital? Now, maybe not. I don't know what their complete draft pick haul is.
Sure.
And they do have the extra one from Jacksonville. So maybe it would be as simple as they lose the one they wouldn't have had anyway. I don't know. But if that's the case.
Could be a factor.
If we can't use it, you can't either, is how I feel about that. All right, why don't we jump back in to the countdown. We gave you our number 5 player on our Jaguar draft wish list. Pockets, why don't you fire up
number 4?
Who wants to go now? You want me to go, Pockets? You want to go?
I got it.
All right,
let
me
take it. Second round. Let me get Ricky Pearsall. I know it's probably not going to happen. I don't feel like taking a receiver in the first round just because the value is not there, and you can get almost as good a receiver in the second round as the first round. I go second round, Ricky Pearsall.
I had a hard time leaving Ricky Pearsall off my 5, but I did because I think that's he's got decent size. I think he's 6'1". He's obviously super fast. You know, I think he can line him up in a lot of ways. I don't look at him as I look at a Odunze and I'm like, man, that guy's carved out of marble. You know what I mean? Like he just profiles as a number one. Like there's nothing he can't do size wise, speed wise, agility wise, the whole thing. So I'd prefer a guy like that, obviously, but you don't get a guy like that at 48 either. And maybe Pearsall is going to be there, Tony. I would have no problem if they go defense or O-line or whatever they go in round one, if Pearsall ends up being the wide receiver they add. I went with Kool-Aid McKinstry, and I'll tell you why. I think both the top couple of corners are going to be off the board. I don't want to sit there and take Nate Wiggins. I don't want to sit there at 17 and have the Jags take Kool-Aid McKinstry. This is the trade back scenario to me, that if the board doesn't fall the way I like it, I don't have a chance to trade up into those top 10 picks and get a receiver. Maybe Brian Thomas is gone. Maybe Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold, if they even love both those guys as much as the draft pundits love them. This is just a reflection of the board doesn't have the one guy I have to have. And he is representative of a guy I'd be very happy with if they're able to recoup a little extra draft capital themselves, move back, maybe add a third-round pick. How nice would that be to have another third-round pick this year? Even a fourth, and kind of stack that in there with 114 and 116 and just really be able to focus on a cluster of players at one point. But I went with McKinstry because I do think he's a good player. I do think he's worth a first-round pick. I don't think he's worth 17 in my estimation. And so he will stand there. I would have no problem with him, but he will stand there for all that they might consider in a move back like that if the board looks a certain way.
Okay. For me at number four, this is another one of these guys that I was talking about a lot going into the combine and exactly what that workout was going to look like. Stand out at the Senior Bowl. I was very excited when Chad Ryder had him in the second round of the Jags just over this week, right? And we talked to Chad about this yesterday, Braden Fist, the defensive tackle out of Florida State. He's a guy that when the process began, as you mentioned, fifth round, you would see his name a lot. Now it certainly looks like you're going to have to spend a pick in the second round to get Fisk when everything is said and done. I was really unsure about how the Jags were going to feel about a guy with his measurables, right, to play defensive tackle, but they at least met with him. There seems to be interest from the Jaguars side in Braden Fisk, and man, do I love watching him. Like, he is just a guy that when you give him opportunities, he creates pressure. He was one of the best in the country at doing that from the inside this year at Florida State, an absolutely dynamic interior pass rusher. And it's certainly a position that the Jags could be thinking about at any time, you know, in the first couple days of the draft is defensive tackle. It's not exactly a position group that is deep for this football team. So number four on my list for me, Braden Fisk.
All right, so you're Fautanu and Fisk. Pockets is Fautanu and Pearsall. I am Mason Smith in the fourth or later, and Kool-Aid McKinstry after a trade down. Mm-hmm. Those are my five and four selections. You can submit your list of your five players. They can be anything you like. Can be all five guys that you would target in a trade up into the top 10. Here are the five best players I think would fit the Jags. Could be five guys you'd be happy with at 17. Could be five guys spread throughout the draft. Could be a combination of all of these things. So, boy, it's just really... Like, I'm looking at the Sims mock a little bit more. Do you really think that Odunze has any chance at this point of falling?
No.
Even I'd be shocked if he got past 10. And even that to me would be kind of late for him to go.
I mean, we asked Tony about that yesterday, Tony Pauline.
Yeah.
You know, who had neighbors going at 13, and I asked them, "What's the latest you can see any of these top three receivers going?" He said, "That was it, 13." Right? Like, that's where he thinks the floor is for these guys in this year's draft, which maybe if one of them slips to there, you know, the Jags want to make a move, and I don't know what that would cost with another team. It's like they slipped a what? Right? Because it does feel like there's a value in those three guys for there's a reason that they've been separated throughout this entire process. So if they started slipping like that, there'd be a bunch of teams, I think, that would be willing to make calls to make offers to try to get to wherever the last of those three guys is going to be available, but I cannot imagine one of the top three wide receivers in this draft being there at 17 or 18.
No way. Not, I can't even imagine him being there at 13.
No.
You know, now, again, there are funny things that can happen there. Like at 10, could the Jets take Brock Bowers over Odunze? Okay, they could go that way, for instance. Okay, who's picking at 11 now? right? Is Minnesota at 11, or did they move up?
Yeah.
If they moved up to the Chargers pick, you think that he's getting past the Chargers?
Right.
Who just lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams? I mean, by choice, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Come on. I just don't understand that. And let's say Minnesota can't move up, and maybe the Raiders jump up there and get a quarterback. And let's say Minnesota's sitting there. If you're at 11 and you're the Vikings, would you consider taking a Dunze and trying to get the crazy haul for Justin Jefferson before you have to pay him $35 million plus a year? I don't know. It may not be the best time to do it because all the teams with top 10 picks this year have already exercised them. You know what I mean? But I wonder how close they think they are to a rebuild, or they think they can get the right quarterback in there and salvage it.
That'd be aggressive. I mean, they spent a first-round pick on Addison last year, too.
Yeah, I know. I know, but, I mean, that's a lot of money to be tied up in one position when you're not sure you got the quarterback or you're going to have the quarterback, at least in the near future.
Sure.
Maybe it'll be Sam Darnold. Who knows? Our quarterback will be John Shipley for the next 15 to 20 minutes from Jaguar Report. Going to talk about what he is hearing. What's the latest scuttlebutt? What's the likelihood the Jags make a move up, make a move back? Who do you he thinks that the Jags covet the most? And it is lying season, so we'll see what John's been able to piece together about the Jaguars' intentions as he joins us coming up. And then next hour, it's John Osier from Jaguars.com, the senior writer, will tell us all his thoughts 2 days out from this year's NFL draft. We'll pick up the countdown with number 3 at the top of the hour as well. So send us your top 5 wish list for the Jags, either on social media or on the All-Pro Roofing phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures, both of those at 641-1010. With Tony Smith and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today. John Shipley coming up on the other side on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Here we go. Got our man John Shipley from Jaguar Report. He is on the scene. Just went to Satrielli's, Tony.
Uh-huh.
Got himself some of the good gabagool. He's ready to go. Mr. John Shipley joining Jaguars Today. Good morning, John. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. You know, it's actually funny. My wife exposed me on Twitter a few weeks ago for actually not liking gabagool, despite how often I love saying it.
It is fun. Yeah, I don't know how capicola becomes gabagool, but that's fine. You know, whatever. We all like to bring out the inner Italian in ourselves when we hear pronunciations like that, and we do it with love in our heart. John, we asked a question yesterday. I'm going to give you 4 scenarios for the first round, okay?
Okay.
I would like you to rank these in order of likelihood, okay, for what you think the Jags might do, okay? Number 1 is trade into the top 10 for a receiver. Okay. Number 2 is trade the 17th pick for a veteran wide receiver, as you know, whether it's straight up or part of a package like an Ayuk Higgins deal. Number 3 is to stand pat, take the best available player at 17. And number 4 is look at the board and say, why don't we trade back a little bit because we got a lot of good targets here. What do you think is the most likely of those 4 scenarios?
Man, I really could, you know, look like a fool in a few days, especially with all the smoke going around. But I still believe 3 and 4 are your 1 and 2 most likely scenarios there. Just with how we've seen this front office operate in the past, I really think it's more likely that they let the draft come to them and then make a decision, you know, from there. I do think that there'd be interest in them to move into the top 10. But one, you have to consider just how early these receivers go off the board. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably going number 4 or number 5. Then Malik Nabers, you know, is probably going number 5 or number 6. And Romo Dunze could go, you know, 8, 9. He could even, you know, go higher than that. So I think it's more likely that they stay where they're at and let the draft come to them.
What, along those kind of lines, John, what are the odds that the Jags just don't make a pick at 17, whether that be move up or move back?
I don't think it's small odds. I think that there's a good chance, especially in this specific draft. I think that there's a lot of desire from other teams to move, you know, up and down the board, maybe even more so than past years. It wouldn't surprise me if we see a situation like when they picked Anton Harrison last year, where, you know, they kind of surprised everybody and moved down twice and still get their guy. I think especially if your guys like a cornerback, like maybe like a Cooley McKinstry or Nate Wiggins or something like that, or even a defensive lineman, I think you very easily can move down once or twice and still get your guy.
Yeah, I think that's possible as well. John, this is a tough question to answer, but you're a tough guy, so I'm going to ask you anyway. And, you know, like if we knew the answer to this, we'd be broadcasting and we'd be telling you what we think. But is there a guy you think, maybe on both sides of this, like we look at Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold as the top two corners, right? And I was talking, we had a Tony Pauline, a draft correspondent on yesterday. He's talking about how Terrion Arnold is better at playing off the ball a little bit and closing on guys. And, you know, so maybe the Jags look at him and say he's not perfect for Ryan Nielsen's scheme. Do you think there is a player on both sides of the ledger, one that they probably like a lot more than we know about, and maybe they're not as enamored with one of the guys that we always talk about them considering at 17? Do you have any inclination in either of those two categories?
Yeah, I think just speaking specifically first about Kenyon, I think Tony Pauline was right on the money. I mean, you watch his tape, and it's almost exclusively off coverage. There's very few press reps in there. I know he did some at the Senior Bowl. On the flip side, you know, one of the analytic guys came up with a great website that you can, you know, go and look at specific averages and thresholds of, you know, athletic testings that general managers pick. And when you look at all the average cornerback thresholds, only two cornerbacks in this class meet pretty much every single one, and that's Kenyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So I think that Kenyon is the prototypical bulky cornerback physically. It's just, you know, kind of translating that to actually being a press cornerback as opposed to off. I think in terms of guys that they may be higher on than maybe the consensus of public, I still come back to Cooley McKinstry. I mean, he has most of the physical traits that they look for. And, you know, you ask people both around the league and some of the top evaluators of the draft, he's pretty much considered, you know, the most pro-ready press cornerback. He's excelled in it. He had a master's in it at Alabama. And most people see him as kind of a set it and forget it, you know, press corner. I'm not sure if the ceiling is there that most people would want, but I think the floor, especially in this scheme, is way up there. We know Balky loves drafting from big schools, winning programs. I think there's a very feasible chance that they're higher on Cooley than most fans are. In terms of a guy they may be lower on, I come back to Brian Thomas. I know that he's seen as to a lot of people as an ideal option at number 17. But I think, you know, a few different things with him. I think he had some strength issues at times at LSU. You know, he's a burner with 4.3 speed, great size, but he's not really an overly physical receiver. He reminds me a lot of Christian Watson coming out of North Dakota State a few years ago. And Watson's been a big play threat at times for Green Bay, but he's also been more of a role player than a true number one. And he's a guy who I just think, you know, looking at what they've looked at a receiver in the past, I'm not sure they'll be as high on him as some people are.
I will just say, interject, I think mm-hmm. Watson is a true number one. I think his problems have been health. I think if Watson
that's certainly been a problem.
Healthy yeah. for a full season, I think it's a lookout with that guy.
No doubt. And I would say, John, certainly the top three receivers are all going to be in play. You just mentioned, you know, Thomas there, and that's been the number four guy on a lot of people's boards to this point. You talked about a bunch of corners. How many corners and wide receivers do you think the Jags are seriously considering at 17 if they don't move from that pick?
I think probably, you know, you can't count any of the big three receivers because there's no chance, you know, despite a Chris Sims mock draft, there's no chance any of them fall, you know, they're 17. Romo Dunze won't be sitting there for them at 17. There's very few absolutes in the draft, but I feel like that's probably one of them. So, in terms of receivers, I'm not sure how many they consider there because the guys projected to maybe go in that range, Brian Thomas, Adonai Mitchell, I think Xavier Worthy might surprise some people and go in the early 20s. I'm just not sure any of them is a great fit. As for cornerbacks, I think Terrion Arnold, Kenyon Mitchell, I think Kool-Aid McKinstry will be in there. And so I think you probably have 3 to 4 cornerbacks who may be in there. You maybe throw in Cooper DeJean. Nate Wiggins doesn't really seem like their type from a prototypical size standpoint, but he's maybe the best pure cover guy in the draft, so maybe you can throw him in there. So I think there are more corner options than there are receiver options at 17.
How do you think, as we're talking here with John Shipley of Jaguar Report, John, how do you think the Jags view their current state of need at offensive and defensive tackle? We all look at it and say, oh, well, you got two guys who are not going to be here after this year, but they may look at it and say, well, we got three guys who could start at offensive tackle right now. So how do you think those two spots, O-tackle, D-tackle, how do you think they perceive their need?
Yeah, I think offensive tackle, they probably feel good about it in the sense of entering the 2024 season. I mean, you have three guys who you know can start and play well, and Anton Harrison, Cam Robinson, and Walker Little. The question is after 2024, and that's when, you know, you can maybe see them draft for a future need as opposed to an immediate need, because Robinson's entering contract year, Little's entering a contract year. There's no guarantees either guy is going to be there. I mean, even if you lose one guy, you still have a need at offensive tackle, because you still need a, you know, swing tackle. I mean, we've seen the Jaguars have been, you know, a perfect example of why you need three offensive tackles the last 2 years with, you know, the issues they've had with Cam Robinson's injuries and suspension. So they probably don't see it as an immediate need, but I think that they'll probably draft an offensive tackle maybe round three, maybe round four to develop and, you know, kind of slot into somewhere next year when you potentially have two guys leave. Defensive tackle is interesting to me. I actually don't think that they have a ton of depth at defensive tackle. You know, they obviously have Eric Armstead, who's going to play a big role. Devon Hamilton, you know, is under contract for a big extension. He's just 26. He's hopefully going to be, you know, coming back fully healthy this year. Will Robson Harris is going to play a big role. But behind them, I think that there's questions. You know, Tyler Lacy, Adam Gotsis, Jeremiah Ledbetter, you know, two of those are veteran options. One guy is, you know, a rookie last year who had a little bit of a redshirt year, didn't play as much. I think you can conceivably, you know, add a guy early in the draft, you know, whether that's first or second round, and maybe he doesn't start right away, but there's a very real chance he could be going into 2025 and either being a starter or a key guy in the rotation, because they are older at defensive tackle right now. I think Hamilton and Lacy are the only sub-30 guys they have.
What, in your mind, John, would be the best and the worst-case scenario for the Jags at 17 on Thursday night?
Worst-case scenario, I think, is you see the top two corners off the board and that there's not a great defensive line option. Like, whether you see Byron Murphy or Johnny Newton or Jared Verse come off, I think having to reach at whether it's cornerback, defensive line, or receiver, like, I'm a fan of Kool-Aid, but I think you get better value by trading down and selecting him. So I think that's probably the worst-case scenario. Best-case scenario, I think, is, you know, one of Kenyon or Terrion Arnold's there. They're two very different cornerbacks, but I think that they both would be able to fill big needs in their own way.
Who's the guy that the Jags could reasonably take at 17 that you think would surprise the most people?
Would Jared Verse be an option, maybe? Jared Verse,
sure.
Johnny Newton. I think either one of those guys. I don't think most people are expecting a defensive lineman, considering, you know, they have their edges locked up. They realistically have their starting defensive tackles locked up. I don't think most people are necessarily expecting that. Kool-Aid, I feel like I've banged that drum to death over like the last month or so, you know, in articles and stuff. So he's not, wouldn't overly be surprising to me. I mean, other than that, it's tough for me to think about many surprises considering how many, you know, scenarios that we've ran through. Maybe they, you know, reach for a guy like Enos Rakestraw or Darius Robinson. I think those would be considered surprises.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, both they seem like bulky guys, especially Robinson.
How would you feel about a guy like Jared Verse? You know, like you said, you got your edges locked up, and he may be a really good player, and you do rotate guys in, but you wouldn't feel like there was a starting job available anytime in the near future.
No, there wouldn't be. I think if you take a guy like that, that they have to take advantage of it by having a healthy rotation and by moving guys around, whether that's moving Trayvon inside more on pass rushing downs or even taking some snaps, you know, away from him that he normally plays and playing a third edge. They haven't done that in the past. You know, they kind of just let their guys, their starters play the last few years. So I'm interested to see if Ryan Nielsen would have a different philosophy. But I do think that's a scenario where you take a third edge and you can utilize them, especially with Trayvon's versatility.
Based on what we've seen from Trent Baalke as the GM here in Jacksonville and his time there in San Francisco, what do you think we should expect to see from Baalke with just his style of drafting this week?
A lot of SEC players, probably, like big school guys. I think that a couple defensive backs is probably, you know, feasible. It seems like most draft classes, even going back to his San Francisco days, he hits those, you know, cornerback and safety pretty hard. I think that you can probably factor in a running back at some point. I know they seemingly have their 1, 2, 3 guys, and, you know, with De'Ernest Johnson as the third, but he's literally taken a running back in every single draft of his career. And I'm sure there's been years where they had already three veteran running backs on the roster. So it wouldn't surprise me to see a late, you know, day three pick on a running back. And an emphasis on guys who have a lot of special teams value. I think you saw that last year on day three, but I think especially this year with the change in special teams rules, that they're going to make some picks based purely on special teams as opposed to what they can do on offense and defense.
Yeah, they draft a running back, bro. Oh, my gosh. I mean, what are we doing? Come on. I'm not going against your methodology here. I understand your evidence is sound. I'm just saying, please, let's be – we can stop that streak, right? Streaks are meant to be snapped at some point in time. All right, Chip, what are you going to be doing between now and the draft and in terms of, you know, throughout the draft, what would you like folks to know about your coverage?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm working on something right now, trying to get it done for day before the morning of the draft, just looking at Trent Baalke's history of top 30 visits and whether there's actually any correlation. I tweeted something yesterday about the first round picks. I didn't include 2021 because it was a virtual year, mm-hmm. Nobody in the NFL, but other than that, 7 of his 12 first-round picks have had top 30 visits. More with the 49ers than with the Jaguars, but I'm just trying to see if there's any actual correlation between, you know, the guys that they bring in to look at and whether they actually pick them. And other than that, you know, just continuing to do, you know, draft coverage up till the draft, looking at every rumor that we see and hear, and also podcasting with my good friend Gus Logue with the Jaguar Report podcast. We'll have an episode out tomorrow where we give our final prediction and final first-round mock for the Jags.
Love it. Let's see. Oh, I thought that might have been Gus right there. That was E.T. walking in past pockets there a moment ago. All right. Well, Ship, we appreciate your many visits with us throughout the process, and we'll look forward to catching up with you frequently throughout the summer as well, including a recap at some point of what the Jags actually pull off from Thursday through Saturday this year.
Thank you, my friends. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. There he goes. _John_Shipley. Is where you'll find him on X or Twitter, whatever you're calling it, @_John_Shipley. Hey, Pockets, why don't we squeeze in the next one in the countdown here, all right? Since we got a couple of minutes, we got John Osier on the other side. We're counting down the 5 players we'd most like the Jags to select in the NFL draft coming up.
Number 3.
All right, I guess it's me for number 3 here. I gave you Mason Smith representing a defensive tackle who falls into the later rounds due to, you know, not talent, but something else, in his case, injury. Kool-Aid McKinstry at 4 after a trade back. My next one, Tony, is preferably a 4th-round target. You might have to take him at 96. He could be gone at 96, depending on how other teams have their board stacked. But Renardo Green, the corner out of Florida State, has the size that Baalke likes. He's fast. He's over 6 feet tall. He did a really good job head-to-head against LSU with Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. That's been, you know, kind of singled out in this process. He's done well throughout the process. I've seen a lot of the big boards out there have him ranked around the 100th best player. Mm-hmm. That's why I'd love to get him at 114, right? If you had to spend the 96 pick, I don't have any issue with that. I think he's got future starter written all over him. And this is an example of this is a position you can find guys throughout the draft. Usually they can come in and help. Maybe they're not superstars. Maybe Quinyon Mitchell turns out to be a superstar. But if he's not available to you at 17, I think Renardo Green would be a tremendous mid-round target for the Jaguars at corner. So that's who I got at number 3. Dylan, who do you have at 3?
Number 3, I was between Byron Murphy and Jared Verse, who you were just talking about. I will go Byron Murphy, interior D-line. You can never have enough interior defensive linemen on a team. You got guys, like you mentioned, you can rotate them. Byron Murphy, go along with Eric Armstead, Trayvon Walker, and Josh Allen's pretty good.
Tony, before you give the pick, who would you rather have, Verse or Murphy?
Verse.
I'd rather have Murphy, too. Mm-hmm. Just more about how often I think I could get him on the field and all that. They're both tremendous players. I don't think they're the ideal pick at 17 for the Jags, but, hey, that's me, you know? So who do you have, Tony, for number 3?
Number 3, again, guy who at the combine disappointed because of the 40 time. But I'm letting that go because of who I think he is as a player and where you'd be getting him at this point. We were talking about Keon Coleman at 17 a lot.
People were talking about Keon Coleman in the top 10.
Right.
In the early part of the college football
season. Look, I get it. The 40 time's going to scare a bunch of people off. But if he was still available in the second round, I don't think there are many players that are going to be at wide receiver available in the second round of the draft that have – the kind of potential upside that a guy like Keon Coleman seems to have to me. And I think you put him in an offense where you have Kirk, who can control the middle of the field, Ingram, who can control the middle of the field, and let Coleman play on the outside and stretch the field and give him the opportunity to win those jump balls, which is what I think he is strongest at. I would love that kind of fit in Jacksonville. That's obviously assuming they don't do anything at wide receiver in the first round. But if Keon Coleman was still there in the second round, they hadn't taken one in the first, I would be thrilled if that was the name that was called.
All right, Keon Coleman, Tony, leaning into Florida State. I guess I was too a little bit with Renardo Green, at least. And, you know, Jared Verse, his name's been thrown around a little bit here. Braden
sure.
Fisk, plenty of guys. Look, I don't want to be that provincial, but, you know, you get Ricky Pearsall and Braden Fisk, and, you know, I don't know if you're going to be able to get them both. They'd probably both be your target at 48. We could put together a pretty good list from
yeah.
the local area college teams. Let's put it that way. All right, we'll come back. John Osier is going to join us from Jaguars.com. We'll continue the countdown and look at some of your top five wish lists as well, your Tuesday top five with the top five guys you'd most like to see the Jaguars select in the upcoming NFL draft. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Dylan Denmark here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Mac in the middle, Tom. Oh, no's with Jaguars.com's John Osher. Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
On 1010XL.
Oops. We are not living in a simulation. We cannot skip ahead to Friday. And we pocket. Let us know. Who was the pick, by the way, last night? Did we do well? Pockets?
Yeah.
You got any info on that? How'd we do? Did we trade out of the first round entirely?
Not yet.
No?
No.
So who did we select last night?
We went with Marvin Harrison at 17.
Really?
Yeah, we did.
At 17?
Yeah, they had a guy.
Senior.
Yep, senior.
Senior. Yeah, of course, senior.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's draft eligible. What would happen, John, if we turned in the card with Marvin Harrison Sr.'s name on it?
Well, it'd be a quiet press conference.
No, he wouldn't say much,
no.
Right?
I covered Marvin for 10 years, and I think I interviewed him four times. Liked the guy, got along well with him, but he did not
you
like
You ever get
him.
A car wash from him?
No.
Just checking. All right. I heard that was a dangerous route to go. Johnny, how are you? How are things down at the world headquarters? For
Good.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Good.
Are they excited? Like is most of the work done at this point? We're just passing the time? Or?
Yeah, from what Trent said, they were meeting. He and Doug were meeting on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You would think by now, Tuesday, about 48 hours out, the board should be set with rare exceptions. Most GMs, once you touch the board, once you complete the board, you don't go back and reset it. So I think after that meeting with Doug, they're done. And
get some golf in. Let's go.
Hayes in the barn. Go have some lunch and go have a run on Thursday and get ready to go.
All right. Let me give you the scenarios I gave John Shipley about 20 minutes ago. Okay. We ran a poll yesterday. By the way, I'll give you the results of that poll here. But you tell us what you think is most likely out of these scenarios to play out for the Jaguars. Scenario one, they trade into the top 10 for wide receiver. We asked people what they'd prefer out of these options. That got 30% of the vote, came in second. So trade in the top 10 for a receiver is option one. Option two, use that 17th pick either straight up or as part of a package to get a veteran receiver, an Ayuk, a Higgins, for example. 26% preferred that route. Just take the best available player, regardless of position, at 17, 33.7, the most people voted for that option, or looking at the board, looking at, we've all looked at some of these mocks and like the next six picks after the Jags, it all makes sense for Jacksonville,
yeah.
Right? So trade down from 17 being the fourth option. So you can
what do
trade.
I think is most likely.
What do you, what's your feel of what's going to play out?
I definitely do not think that they trade up into the top 10.
Okay. You definitely don't.
I mean, I think if they trade up, it would be a couple of spots to get a guy that they're targeting at 17, if that makes sense, rather
a corner get ahead
yeah.
of Indy to
if
get a corner.
If all of a sudden they look at it and say, okay, we've fallen in love with a corner. I just think the equity that it would take to get up to 9 to get a receiver.
Okay.
Now you're burning off probably a third-round pick.
More than that.
Yeah, this year's. So
to get to 9, it's basically 17 and 48.
Yeah.
Is worth the ninth and like a seventh
right.
rounder.
So they have other stuff they got to go get too. You know, I mean, so I don't think they're going up that high. I mean, they're not, but I don't think
you know, just to play devil's advocate, and I tend to agree with you, but you know, there is the whole, you know, a year from now, Roma Dunze, who let's say is available at 9, is a star. And let's say you take Brian Thomas and whomever in round 2, okay? And Brian Thomas just didn't click right. Or maybe he has a 600-yard rookie season and Dunze's 1,200. It's not inconceivable that
no, it's not.
That he could be worth those two guys.
I'm so off of receiver as a possibility in the first round.
You don't think they're doing that
at all? Because I just think the draft this year lines up with it's strong at receiver through rounds 3 or 4. And to go up and burn equity to get up when you think you can get a starter in round 3.
Starter versus star, though.
I know. Yeah, and I completely get the rationale. But that's sort of my pre-draft theory, so I'm sticking to it.
So does that mean as well you eliminate the veteran receiver round? I think it's definitely one of the last two. You do, okay.
Options. I would probably, if I had to put money on one of them, I'd probably take 4, moving back a slot or two. But as we talked about last week, you just don't know until you see the board on Thursday night. You don't know what's there. But if they're in that situation where, hey, there's 4 guys there we like, let's go back 2 spots. He's done it. He's very comfortable doing it. So I don't see why he wouldn't do it this year. Trent, meaning.
Yeah, it makes sense. I tend to agree with you. It won't reflect on my list of the top 5 we're doing because I do have a wide receiver still on my top 2 here that we'll get to a little bit later. But I tend to agree with you. When you're trying to predict what the team is going to wind up doing in the draft, it does feel to me more and more like wide receiver is not at the center of what they're thinking. And it becomes less and less likely in my mind that they're going to be willing to make the big move to get up into the top 10 to make something like that happen, given not only that it's difficult to figure out, but I do think the number of quarterbacks that are involved in this year's draft process make that even more complicated as far as what is the price that you're going to be willing to pay when you're going to be bidding against other teams that are willing to pay the quarterback price to move up into these spots where you're trying to pay the wide receiver price to get up into them. I do think it complicates it to a large degree as far as the Jags trying to figure out what exactly they should be paying.
But at the same time, right, and you could have a case where quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3.
Sure.
The price is then paid to get to 4, right, and Minnesota makes that move. And now you've got all these receivers, maybe 1 or 2 of which would have been off the board already in past years, now available at a slightly cheaper pick. I'm more with you, Tone. I don't think they're going to package it all together and make this run. I don't know if they feel like they're Roma Dunze away from being the best team in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing, but it's beautiful.
If you're asking for percentages, I'm not saying they definitely won't go up and do that. I would say they're more
apt
to stay at 17 and pick or trade back a couple spots.
We should just get Mia in here and debate John back and forth. Mia yesterday was – so I came away with the impression from Mia O'Brien that she thinks that move up to get the receiver is very much in play. I don't know. You know, like you guys are around it. More, I'm fascinated I'm an interested observer either way, you know? And if they do go up, I don't think that's the best use of the resources, but I don't think, I'm at least willing, John, and I hope most Jaguar fans are, if it doesn't play out in your preferred scenario, maybe the scenario that it does play out in actually works. You know, maybe Roma Dunze is going to be one of these guys that comes in and is an instant Pro Bowler and a future All-Pro, and the Jags, in hindsight, got him for cheap.
Yeah, we can talk all we want about anything.
We just don't know.
If you get a good player, it's a great move.
Right, well,
no matter what.
It depends.
Well,
I mean, if you get a good player, but you could have sat still and taken two good players, you know, maybe it's
usually don't regret it if the guy's good, even if you miss out on somebody.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Because you won't know who you could have gotten if you'd stayed.
Yeah, you'll know who you could have gotten, right? You won't know who they would have taken in that scenario, but you'd have a pretty good guess. And it's really, come on, Mia, you want to fight? Let's get in here. Go fight him. I saw her looking. She's listening. She knows what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Don't get in here if you want to. Let's just throw Mia O'Brien right into the mix in the middle of Jaguars today, and why not? What are we drinking?
I don't have to be, like, writing up commercials or fixing the live stream or anything like that.
What are we drinking this
morning? First cup of coffee. I did get back to the gym this morning after my four-day little vacation for the first time. So
we all have our
caffeine
in various
forms. That's my
first
cup of coffee, really. So.
Hey, I don't care. You can have 50 cups of coffee. Yeah. I'm not your dad.
I was in Denver.
And you're an adult.
I was in Denver, and there's, like, coffee everywhere, and I, like, have had to, like, wean myself the last 48 hours.
You can toss some Jameson in for all my kids.
Hey, exactly. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, baby.
You may have it in there. And it just unfortunately dawned on me. I am old enough to be Mia's dad. Damn it.
Sad.
I could be Mia's dad.
And then some.
Dang it. All right. I don't want to mischaracterize you. I was listening yesterday. And you seemed very enthusiastic about the possibility that the Jags could be making a bold move into the top 10.
What
leads you to believe that?
Right. I think it's the fact that I have kind of taken a couple different tea leaves, if you may, and tried to read between them over what I've been told over the last few months. But you couple that with how many phone calls and texts I've received from different league sources, different team sources in the last 2 weeks alone, where unsolicited, I had somebody say to me yesterday, yeah, don't be surprised if 8 and 9, like, that's actually the target. Like, you were correct when in my tweet that I sent Thursday from vacation. I just found it so fascinating that Trent Baalke continued to specifically say to get to 12 or 13, to get to 12 or 13. The superficial surface level interpretation of that is, well, he's only thinking about, quote unquote, cornerback alley, getting to 12 or 13, Brian Thomas Jr. territory. For me, Trent doesn't just say things to say things. And so that's why I'm like, the fact that he said it, I went back, I watched the presser, I reread the transcript. The fact that he said it three times says to me that that was intentionally placed as a smokescreen. And coupled with, again, the fact that, like, yesterday after I was on the air, I had somebody call me and they said, yep, 8, 9, that's where the intel is being done. And so, look, is it going to happen? No, because it takes two to tango. But at the very least, the fact that they're exploring it, the fact that Trent said to Justin Barney in one of the final questions of Thursday's press conference, we know what it would take to get into the top 10. We've done that exploration. And the fact that he said that those three wide receivers are so far and away ahead of what is a deep wide receiver class, but they are far and away the three most elite players. And also knowing that this team has been trying to find a number one wide receiver to complement Christian Kirk, who I believe is a 1B, but they're trying to find that complement to him for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. It says to me that they are exploring all avenues. And so while, yes, it takes two to tango and a trade, I can't guarantee it's going to happen, but at the very least, it is being explored.
John, I think you would agree that they're exploring all options, right?
Right.
And you've just come to the conclusion that you just don't think it's wide receiver. You don't think it's the move up. And for even beyond that, you just don't think it's wide receiver in round one at all.
Yeah, you get your theories before the draft and you sort of lock into it. So I think they're going corner at 17. And
you may be right. I don't know which one of you is right. You could both be right in a sense.
Right.
To me, that's just based on value and depth at both positions. So as I said, if you go up and get a good player, more power to him.
All right, Mia, one more question for you, cause you have your own show to take care of, I know, today. Is a veteran receiver, like a big play for an Ayuk or a Higgins, if they even were available, is that even possibly still in the cards?
Is John Lynch listening right now? Yes, John, it is absolutely possible. I don't know for sure about them shopping Deebo Samuel out of San Francisco. I did place a call this morning to some of my San Francisco people, so if I hear something, I'll let you know during Helmets and Heels 12-2. But I do think that there has been so much buzz surrounding from Brandon Ayuk's camp. Yeah, I understand we didn't request a trade, but at the very least, they are going out and seeing what teams would be interested in compensating him with. That it says to me that if the Jags or another team, whether it's one of the, you know, three teams that old Pretty Ricky sent out into the universe or not, I do think that there are teams at the very least calling and inquiring what it would take, and also calling to Ayuk's camp and saying, what sort of contract would you want? I believe it's a possibility, even if they were to pick at 17, because they can't get into the top 10 for the wide receiver market, to turn around and flip 48 for Brandon Ayuk with additional compensation, because just 48 is not going to get it done.
I don't think anybody in Jaguarland is going to be too upset if it's 48 and anything after that.
Sure.
Brandon Ayuk, and you get a stud starter at whatever spot in round one, and you get Ayuk for the 48th pick. I think
you're going to have to pay him, because that's like the, that's,
sure
that's
are,
the big
but
question.
Okay, well,
are you,
it's not my money.
Trent's got an endless supply of that cash this offseason, man.
Shot will pay it.
We got $2 in cap space. All right, I'll sign six guys.
We made our question of the day yesterday on Helmets and Heels. What's your draft day hot take? And my draft day hot take, or draft week hot take, I guess I should say, is if they cannot trade into the top 10, then they will try to find a way to flip that number 48 overall pick and additional whatever it may be for Brandon Ayuk.
Let's do it. Let's go.
And with that, I will see you all for Helmets and Heels at 12 o'clock.
All right. Drink up. The coffee drinker's reading the tea leaves, John. I don't know what to make of that. But
coffee tea.
There you go. All right. We'll come back and we'll continue the discussion with John Osier. And, you know, which of these scenarios would you even prefer, Tone? Would you rather package the picks and get the young Adunze or the slightly less young and more expensive Ayuk, but certainly the more proven guy, if it were to go that way? Send us your top five wish list for the Jaguars for the draft, and we'll read through some of those as well. We'll continue our countdown. We're up to our number two player on our list coming up here in just a few minutes. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, John Osier, Dylan Denmark here with you. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Oh Noes.
With Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars on 1010XL.
I've seen a few people suggest this, Tony, not just today, but over time. Draft Frank Gore Jr. in the seventh round as the tip of the hat. Thank you for Frank Sr.'s career-defining first down with the New York Jets a few seasons back.
So. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. When did Frank Gore retire? Like, it was last year, right? It wasn't
something like that. I think he played another season, at least one season past that.
And son's playing.
Oh, right, right. Because he was in the league for quite a while. Yeah. You know,
and was
he's probably also old enough to be Mia O'Brien's dad, but maybe not.
A lot of people are.
You know,
yeah.
Probably are. Probably a lot of people out there
are. A lot of people in this room.
It's good to be young, as I recall. So, yeah, draft Frank Gore in the seventh. Do you have, like, in your role, obviously, you are a member of the Jags organization. You write for the website.
So far, the code works,
You are a member of the Jags organization, right? So do you just try to be like the objective reporter on, you know, all the draft stuff, or do you have your own wish list for what the Jags do?
You know, in the first round, I don't have a wish list. I have an idea of what I think they might do. Do I have a wish list of guys that, boy, I want this guy or that guy? Not really. I mean, it's interesting to me before the draft. I'm fascinated to try to figure out what directions they might go and what their needs might be. As far as specific players I want, not really. I mean, I you know, Terrion Arnold I like. Like a lot of guys I've seen in the first round. Pearsall from Florida is interesting. I mean, he – sort of intriguing because I've heard some people talking about him, but I certainly don't dig in very deep past the first or second round. I mean, past about the second round, because to me, it's such darts at a board in the fourth round.
Well, it's so hard to know. I mean, like, there are prospects I like later in the draft, but to have any clue how other teams feel about them or where they're really going to come off. I mean, with Tony, I talk about Braden Fisk all the time. In January, fifth round. This guy's fifth round with upside. Now, he could be in the first round.
Right.
You know?
I'll get these.
But it's all about the film, right? I forgot. It's all about the film. Oh, wait. It's not about the offseason process, because you can be – I guess they looked at his – decided to look at his film more closely.
Risers and fallers, yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
He's shooting up draft boards.
Well, the whole idea that you know, yes, that is one thing. That's more the pundits getting knowledge of what's really happening. But the idea that, oh, it's all – and it's so funny, because every year, guy blows – the doors off the combine. We'll just have to go back to the film. So do you not know how to look at the film the first time?
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Maybe this isn't the job for you?
Some of it is. Until about the GMs aren't necessarily digging deep into the film last September.
I'm not even talking
about
the GMs.
Scouts are.
I'm talking more about the Kuipers of the world and anybody else. Like this guy did this at the combine. Everyone says it's all about the tape, the tape, the tape, the tape. Then they go blow the door at the combine. Well, that's going to make me go back and look at the tape again because they have to justify why they're changing their opinion now. And they always tell you it's about the film.
Well, I got you.
So you looked at the film and you told me this and now your opinion's different. So you have to excuse that somehow.
A lot of times, too. You haven't had time. Yeah.
I'm getting angry at the whole draft process. This has gone on too long, Tony. Can we draft tonight?
It's a little bit of a silly process.
All right. Let's go around the National Football League.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The New York Jets are trading quarterback Zach Wilson to the Denver Broncos. The deal includes a swap of late-round picks, with the Jets sending the Broncos Wilson and a seventh-round pick for a sixth-round pick. Cincinnati defensive end Sam Hubbard had a deltoid reconstruction in his ankle and a tightrope surgery. Hubbard missed two games last year due to the injury and said on Monday, quote, "I'm thankful that I made it out with no cartilage damage and stuff like that, but it's all fixed," end quote. He also said that they found a lot of instability in his ankle when he went in to get it fixed and that it probably should have been fixed earlier, but it sounds like everything's okay now for Hubbard. Matt Ryan officially announced his retirement after a 15-year career on Monday. Ryan, a first-round pick by the Atlanta Falcons in 2008, when he was selected third overall, played 14 of his 15 seasons with Atlanta before spending the final season of his career with the Indianapolis Colts in 2022. Ryan won the AP Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2008, was selected to five Pro Bowls and a first-team All-Pro in 2016, when he also won the league MVP for the Atlanta Falcons.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Pro Football Talk's done their – this is Florio's mock. He only does one every year. And he listens to a lot of people, interviews a lot of people. So let's just take a quick perusal and see what he's done here for the first round.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to presume you know most of these major names. We're not going to give you school and position on everybody. Bears take Caleb Williams. Washington, Jaden Daniels. Vikings trade up to the Patriots spot, take Drake May. Cardinals stay put, take Marvin Harrison Jr. Chargers go Malik Nabers. New York Giants take Joe Alt. And Tennessee pivots to J.C. Latham, okay, so far Dunsay is available.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Turner to Atlanta. Olu Fashanu to the Bears. What is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
Tali Fuanga to the Jets, the Oregon State tackle. New England takes J.J. McCarthy. We have a trade up to 12.
Oh,
are you ready for it?
I am.
Rome Odunze, receiver, Washington, to the Buffalo Bills. Sorry to get you excited.
Wow, coming from way
coming from
there.
28,
yeah.
Jumping up to 12. They better be burning up the damn phone line. 12's our spot. Somebody told me that. His name was Trent Baalke. 12's our spot. Jared Verse goes to the Raiders. Brock mm-hmm. Bowers to the Saints. Quinyon Mitchell to the Colts. Chop Robinson to the Seahawks. You can probably guess.
Terrion Arnold.
Exactly. Terrion Arnold. Byron Murphy right after that. And on and
would
on.
Would it bother you? If Terry Arnold's on the board and they take Byron Murphy, would that bother you?
No.
No.
Me neither.
No. Not that, because I do think there are corners I'm interested in throughout. I mean, Renardo Green was the guy we talked about in our list today.
To me, that's the X factor. And either if they think greatness is available on either offensive or defensive line, I'm fine with them taking
it. You're right. If it's great.
Right.
I got no issue with it, particularly offensive line for me. But they may not see it that way. Like, I get it, because that offensive lineman doesn't have a guaranteed path to even play this year.
Right.
Now, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but if I've got one of those versatile types that can play inside or outside, there's no way I'm not letting him go right into the fire and, hey, that right guard spot is open for business. Sheriff, rookie, Hodges, compete your asses off, and the best guy's going to play.
Right.
You know, and that way you can at least get them on the field mm-hmm. early. All right, let's continue the countdown. Pockets, where are we at?
Number two.
That's where I thought we were.
number two.
Dylan, what you got at number two? Recap your first three, if you would, and then give us number two.
All right, I got Fautanu, the offensive tackle from Washington at five. I got Ricky Pearsall at four, going to the second round, hopefully. At three, I had Byron Murphy. Number two, I'm going to go Terrion Arnold. These top two, my one and two is going to be corner. So I got Terrion Arnold at number two. I think he's the second best corner of the draft. Hopefully he goes there. Need a position. Day one starter.
All right. Let's see. I went Mason Smith, defensive tackle out of LSU, looking at the fourth rounder later, kind of representing the D tackles that could fall due to issues other than playing ability. Kool-Aid McKinstry as a trade back target from 17. Renardo Green as a third or fourth round target at cornerback. Number two on my list, Tony, I put Brian Thomas,
okay, the
LSU wide receiver. I put kind of Slash Odunze. Like, if they move up, he's the one I hope they're moving up for, mm-hmm. right? But unless, I mean, I just don't see it being as cheap as even 17 and 48 to get you to a spot where you can get Odunze, because I do think there's going to be more suitors that drive the price up greater than what the chart tells you it's going to be.
Yeah, I would think in that Florio trade, the Bills may have given away part of Buffalo.
They may have, right? Yeah. And is there a part you'd want? I don't know. I you know what? I've never been to
I've
Buffalo.
Had a pretty good beef
Why
on
should
Wack
I say?
Up there. Pretty good.
Is that right? Yeah. Is that? I've never had that. I've heard they love that up there, though.
Yeah.
All right. Some, that'd be the place to get it, though, right?
And that five would, beef on Wacks and the number 28 pick.
Huh. Okay, and the number 28 pick. Right, that'll get it done. So anyway, I went Thomas. I do want a top of the depth chart wide receiver, and I understand, as John said, you can get receivers throughout this draft. I don't think you can get. Right. A guy that shifts the entire depth chart, potentially. They may not feel that way about Brian Thomas, but I think he's the most logical guy that could fulfill that role
at
you could get at 17, yeah. right? And therefore, he tops. The guy scored 17 touchdowns at LSU. He didn't score them at Kennesaw State. You know, that playing against really good competition, he's got the size, he's got the speed. I think he can grow into his frame even a little bit more. He doesn't have to be the star immediately. You've got enough to compete with. But you get a good young, potentially great young piece to grow in lockstep with Trevor Lawrence. So, yeah, give me the receiver at number two on my list. Who you got? Mm-hmm.
5-2 for me, Troy Faitanu, the Washington offensive lineman at 5, Braden Fisk, FSU defensive tackle at 4, Keon Coleman, Florida State wide receiver at 3 for me, and at number two, Quinyon Mitchell, the Toledo corner. He is the top of my cornerback list. It's not that there's a bunch of names that they could call at corner at 17, and I wouldn't be upset with many of them, right? It'd be like, okay, cool. Like, I'm cool with Terry and Arnold if that's the name that winds up being called. But if it wound up being Mitchell would be the one that got me most excited if that's what it wound up being at number 17, which is kind of how I've tried to approach doing this list today. It's my reaction to the pick, not my expectation for how likely I think any of it is, because I don't think Mitchell is particularly likely to be the pick for the Jags, because I do think he's going to be the top corner for a bunch of teams, and I'm not sure what that's going to mean for where he's going to wind up going. But if it was the name that got called in the first round at corner, that would be the name that got me the most excited.
So I'm going to assume Marvin Harrison Jr. is at number one for you. But we'll see.
We'll see.
When we come back, no matter how likely it is. I think Mitchell's gone by 17. I'd have no problem if Mitchell's the pick. I'd have no problem with a small move up to get him. Small
me too.
Move.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you want to spend one of those fourths or a fifth to make a, you know, three-spot move and you can get it done for that, that's fine. If you really value that guy head and shoulders, and you're getting the top corner, I don't have an issue with that. He's not on my list, but I'm not going to hate it if it goes that way. I guess McKinstry kind of represented what I think the cornerback field is going to look like. I don't think there's going to be one standing out. All right, we'll come back. We'll do our number one most coveted player that the Jaguars could draft Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, and we'll take a look at some of your top five lists as well. The Tuesday top five continues. John Osier is in studio with us. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Nobody knows the Jags like Johnny O.
Oh, knows. Brought to you by
Kingfish Pest Control, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars
on 1010XL.
All right, what do we got cooking? Tomorrow, media mock draft. Pockets, are we locked and loaded? 16 picks, flawlessly executed.
Yes, absolutely. 95% sure. If not, I'll let you know by tomorrow at noon.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know if 95% is an absolute, but all right.
That 95% sure at 10:20 tomorrow is going to bite you.
Yeah, that one might get me. Bro, I don't even. It's not worth getting it. It's nothing Pockets related. It was a Sirius XM thing. I just got to skip it. Okay. It's not really going to matter to you, and it's triggering to me. So let's move on. All right. So we got Media Mock Draft tomorrow. We're going to have on Thursday, Hayes Carline is going to join us. Demetrius Harvey is going to join us. We would love to welcome your calls if you want to. And I'll tell you what the question of the day is going to be. Simple thing. For 17, who do you want at 17? Provided, assuming there's no trade, who do you want them to pick at 17? Who do you think they'll actually pick at 17 if they stick and use the selection? That's all we're going to be asking on Thursday. And then Friday, Tom McManus will be in. We'll react to what the Jags did in the first round and prepare for rounds 2, 3, and the rest. All right, so before we get to some of your top fives, why don't we complete ours here with our most coveted draft selection pockets.
Number one.
Tony, who you got?
The name at the top of my list, and it's because I will be throwing a party for the next 4 months if they pull it off, is Roma Dunze.
Okay.
The Washington wide receiver. I have basically 0% expectation that they're going to pull that kind of move off to go get that player. But the player that would get me the most excited among the options that are available to him, because I do think, you know, getting a four and getting Harrison is a little bit crazy talk, right? Like, I don't think they're going to get to that level. But if the opportunity came up and they were able to get the 8, 9, or 10 and get a guy like a Dunze, I'm the next 4 months, that'll just be party time for me. And whatever that price would happen to be, you know, if it's a first and second round pick this year and a second round pick next year, fine.
What about a first next year?
Okay.
All right.
I'm party time, man. Like, I'm ready
to
party.
You think they're picking 32 next year?
Well, yeah, after they get a Dunze. Like, 4 months of party.
No, they're not picking 32 next year. They've given their next five first-rounders to get a Dunze and
win
the next five Super Bowls.
Whatever it takes.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's all good. All right. Hey, look, these are our own personal lists.
Yep.
Put anybody you like on there. Roma Dunze, number one on Tony's list. For me, it's a guy you both had at number five. It's Troy Faletonu. Mm-hmm. It's not sexy at all. And he kind of represents a couple of guys. Like, if Tali Fuanga is there, I think they're very similar. I think they both could play inside.
You love the idea of offensive line.
I love the idea. Yeah, well, I do. I do. Yeah. I like the idea of Anton Harrison and a young bookend to go with him. If Ezra Cleveland turns out to be really good, if Morse can hold down that spot for a couple of years, maybe you play Fatuano at guard this year.
I don't talk about those scenarios that much. I don't think they'll do it. But
yeah, I don't know.
In the next five drafts, they go all line all the time.
Look, I have no problem. Like, if you draft Troy Fatuano and you get a third round pick for Cam Robinson, maybe a fourth even, right? And I get it. It's because the money, the investment in him, he's only under contract for 1 year. So let's say you get a fourth round pick and you pick up another corner that can come in and compete, you know, something like that. And I just think, look at some of these guys, man. They are just absolute attitude changers, you know, like just, I don't know, just maulers that can have that versatility to slide inside, outside, super athletic. I mean, might be starting a tackle this year.
The athlete of them.
Totally.
That's the way he's talked about. He's the athlete of them.
That's the number one guy on my list.
Yeah.
But I think, to me, Tali Fuanga is I don't know how NFL teams, because sometimes you see Fuanga, like, in the top 10,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you see Faletonu go before him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have no idea what NFL teams are thinking. Pockets, who you got at number one?
Mitchell, best corner of the draft.
Quinyon Mitchell, small school guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, small school genes going to take him, right?
Why not?
Because, you know, we've had a long history, if you listen to Jaguar fans. What does every general manager in Jaguar history try to do? Tries to prove he's the smartest guy in the room, right? That is the belief. Now,
that's
sort
of fan complaint with every GM I've ever been.
That's my point, right? All right, you had Gene Smith, small school Gene, clean Gene. Clean Gene wants to go to the Colorado School of Mines and go mining for prospects, right?
Yeah.
He's going to take the tiniest. So I understood when people said Gene Smith's trying to show you he's the smartest guy in the room because he's the only guy in America who knows about this kid from Prairie View, whatever. Bulky drafts, like you said, he drafts from Auburn. He drafts from Florida. He drafts SEC guys, big school guys, all the time.
Yeah, but he got it wrong.
Right, but like he didn't draft the one I wanted. Or
bingo on the line.
Like it makes sense.
Right.
There are hundreds
case, right?
of thousands of Jaguars fans, right? Like if you make a mistake, they can all point to that's the guy that made the mistake. That's why this guy stinks. He picked the wrong guy. His fault. It's obviously his fault because no one else can pick him but that guy. And he got it wrong. We know who got it wrong.
That's
Trent Baalke.
You know, he would be trying to prove you're the smartest guy in the room. 17th pick comes. All the corners are there. And you take a guy like Rakestraw, who's projected in the middle of round two.
Yeah.
Then you are.
You better be right.
You better damn well be right.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me that the board's a certain way. Like, people say, well, we got to get a good offer. If you're going to get the player you want anyway, almost any offer is a good offer to me. Like, if they're offering, if the chart says a third and you're getting a fourth, you're getting a fourth that you wouldn't have had otherwise. You know what I mean?
As long as you're getting the
player. As long as you're getting the player. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And I don't anticipate it being a case where at 17 we're going, what? Like, I think it's going to be a guy we've talked about in some capacity. We've conditioned ourselves, even if it's a guy we don't want, right? Like, I don't want Nate Wiggins.
Right.
173 pounds scares me. But I'm not going to be shocked if that's their pick.
Right.
Because, pretty much everyone concedes that they grade him as a first rounder with some questions about things. All right, here are some of the names that we've gotten. I'll do my best to pronounce them all. Cristiano gave us Neighbors Adunze, Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, and Kool-Aid. So he's going all first round, big game hunting. Eric says Brian Thomas at number one, Zach Zinter, Michigan lineman at two, Blake Fisher, Mike Sainristrill. I have a tough time pronouncing his name. And Ronaldo Green. Faltano, Cooper Beebe, the offensive guard there. Another one for Sainristrill. Another one for Green. And Shone Vaki, I think is how you say it. Let's see. A lot of Adunze, Jared Verse, Terrion Arnold, Keon Coleman, Faltano. That's for our Goodwin, Big Brother 69. There's some Javon Baker love in here. Isaac Garendo. I don't. Please, no running. I mean, I get him. He's super speedy. Maybe they're thinking he's this year's Devin Achane, but how many touches are we going to carve out for yet another running back on this team? I just don't get it. We got a return game covered, right? Yeah, I mean, you went out and you got Duvernay.
I can see it seventh, late.
Okay, seventh round, anything's fine.
Sure.
Right? If it's a seventh round pick, fine.
Fourth, I'd be.
Because we're probably going to cut that guy anyway. Let's be honest, right? I mean, they say the talent falls off this year in the later rounds, and we got a pretty good roster, so you would expect seventh round picks to not.
And Achane was a third round pick.
Sure.
You know, like, that's a player, Miami doesn't make that pick unless.
But Miami
we're
had a specific,
this
like,
guy.
Role for him. Their other guy is 32 years old.
Yeah.
and he stayed healthy last year, but they form a nice.
Certainly looks like a good pick right now.
And even Nantone, what do you ever expect him to average at the max? Like 10 touches a game?
Maybe.
Right? I mean, just with the size, right? I mean, anyway. Let's see. Amarius Mims. Kyrie Jackson, the Oregon corner, Brendan Rice, the USC wide receiver, Jerrion Jones, that's another good FSU corner. I think there are a lot of good middle round corners. And then Christian Jones, guard out of Texas, that's from Chad. Fuanga, Pearsall, Sainristrill, and best player available on the interior offensive line. That's a four-man list, that's fine. Cooper DeJean, number one on somebody's list. You hear any buzz about him, John? Cooper DeJean, the Iowa corner / safety?
Like
who? I don't know.
Legitimate buzz, not
who do you much. Who do you think's the guy they could take at 17? That we just said it's probably going to be a guy we're somewhat conditioned. But who's the most oddball selection you could see him taking at 17?
Yeah, you know, I heard Ship on the way in kind of say it's hard because you analyze so many of them and think about so many of them. Maybe the Texas defensive tackle. It's not
Murphy?
That oddball. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not sure there's that many oddballs because I just don't expect him to do it if I wasn't thinking about
right,
it.
Right, right. Johnny Newton would be that
to some degree,
like the Illinois defensive tackle. Like if Byron Murphy's there, because you see Byron Murphy now starting to creep into the top 10 in mocks.
Yeah.
So if he's there at 17, a lot of people are going to go, well, he's just clearly the best player.
I guess so much of it is we all start thinking about our own scenarios, like I said earlier. So if it's outside of our scenario, it would surprise you. It's tough. Maybe one that I would consider oddball is what you mentioned earlier. I'd be surprised if it's Nate Wiggins.
Yeah, that would probably be in the number
because
one
because it
on
doesn't
my list.
Feel like fit.
It fits the position,
but not what they want to do. So you would think.
Can you press a guy at 173? I mean, he's got good makeup speed. I know that. He's blazing fast. Look, Nate Wiggins, I could just be dead wrong.
Sure.
Nate Wiggins could be a superstar.
But if there's a conventional wisdom about the corner position, whoever you talk to, it's that, he probably doesn't fit what they want to do. Like, he's great, probably didn't fit what they want to do. So that would be surprising.
What I, you know, what would
that means wrong?
Like based on what you're saying with the wide receiver thing, let's say Brian Thomas is off the board. Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, right? That to me would be surprising at that stage.
Those feel like you might trade up from the other spot to go up.
Trade up from 48
if like one of them slips.
Possibly.
That might be too far for him to slip.
Who knows, man? 1 year, maybe I'll retire and they'll give me a present. And all I want to do, I would just want to be like part of the draft process, just to be able to like five times go sit in on draft meeting. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be there every day. I don't have to watch all the film. I want to be in there when
you definitely don't want to be.
No,
there
I want to be there when they put the board together and hear the final discussions and all that, and just really see, because probably most front offices sit back and have a good laugh at what they hear this time of year. Now, there's some good information,
and
that
they're glad that they're laughing because it means we don't know what's going on,
right? Or even if you do, how do you know?
Right.
Maybe you got it right this time. How do you know until the draft goes down? So, all right, John, what will you be doing in terms of coverage and all that? What do you have planned for the next week?
Be
or so?
Doing the today. We're actually taping the Huddle Up podcast with Bucky and JP, and then you know going into the draft, just pick by pick. We'll be going on live after most picks on Jaguars media channels. With JP, Kai Stevens, Brian Sexton, and myself. So, you know, it's the old cliche. Tune in all weekend for the best Jaguars coverage.
Love it, man. Appreciate you changing around the schedule.
Oh, no
this
problem.
Week.
Enjoy it,
and we'll reflect next Wednesday on just what a masterclass was put together by the Jaguars brain trust.
And it'll have played out exactly as I thought.
Exactly the way everyone thought.
Right.
Everyone will get their wish in this draft.
But he won't have done anything right.
Oh, of course not. And he will. Will he have proven? Maybe he'll have proven he's the smartest guy in the room. Is that possible? I'm gonna go low odds on that one.
Right? Good luck proving he's not next Wednesday.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's possible. Right. We still won't know next Wednesday.
There'll be a faction of people who think so. You know, who those people are the people who wanted the guy that he picked.
Oh yeah,
true. Or it'd be like, well, he got lucky. Like even Balky had to take that guy, you know, because there is that.
And
again, like you said, it's GMs around the league that probably get that with rare exceptions.
I heard the same stuff for 10 years about Bill Polian in Indianapolis. He's in the Hall of Fame with a ring, and was in the playoffs every year. And he was an idiot up there.
Oh, I agree. That's all right, John. Have a good week and enjoy the draft. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks,
right,
guys.
For Tony Smith, John Osier, and Dylan Denmark, I'm Mike Dempsey. Back again tomorrow with the media mock draft. Taylor Dahl, your Bears are on the clock. Let's go. Stick around. Helmets and Heels coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.